Welcome to Interviews with Entrepreneurs Show, where we interview entrepreneurs who are super awesome in their niches. And guys, we are back again with an amazing guest on the show. So a little bit of context, like how I met that person out there. I think it's been about like a month or two, you know, I met that guy on an event here in Pakistan out there. And it's happened like super rare that, you know, I met somebody in person and then we get an opportunity to get that guest on a podcast. I think it happened like twice in the past like 100 episodes, which is insane. So today's guest is Fahad Khan. Fahad Khan is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, business strategist, and life and business coach as well, with a track record of success in delivering quality results. He has founded Canada Prime Marketing back in 2009. You know, it's been around like 13 years or so, which is insane. Since then, his position, drive, and entrepreneurial spirit led him to being featured in Edmonton's 2014 edition of Sizzling 20 Under 30. Like, awesome. So Canada Prime was also recognized by McLean's Profit 500 list of fastest growing companies, with the company of ranking number one in all of Edmonton's and number second in the province of Alberta. We're going to talk about like entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about business, the ethics of it, building relations, and so much more. So please welcome Fahad Khan. So the big question is this: how these entrepreneurs who started from scratch and had no idea how to sell or market their products or services online, and then later on made over six figures, seven figures, eight figures, or even nine figures, became best in their niches and found their dream customers to sell? My name is RJ Ahmed, and find this all out on our Interviews with Entrepreneurs show, where I interview all these entrepreneurs and try to pick their brain on how they actually did all of that and how they took their business as well as their life to the next level. This podcast is all about the entrepreneurs who strive so hard to become super awesome in their niches. Welcome to Interviews with Entrepreneurs.
Hey, hello. Fahad. How's it going, RJ?
Good, good. What about you? Thank you so much
for being here. Very good, Ahmed.
Awesome. So, I want to talk about, you know, a bit of a backstory out there, like how the journey actually started for you. If people, you know, don't know about the bit of it, can you like talk us a bit of it?
Yeah, basically my background has been in sales. That's how I started. I've been born in Pakistan, blessed to be in Canada since 2000, so more than 23 years now, almost. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was how you get started is it's a lot of life is always happening for you because when we are younger, we don't know what's happening. But now I'm trying to teach people, even their kids, that life is all lining up for you. So for me, my English wasn't good early ages. When I came to Canada, pretty much everybody made fun of us. There was some bullying at that time. And then luckily got into sales job. They didn't want me. That was pretty bad. My English was terrible. They fired me a few times, but I had that fire. I'm like, you know what? I want to prove these people wrong. And that led to some of the great sales positions. And then everything just started rolling. We'll come to that. But put yourself in a sales position.
Okay. That's interesting. So how you found sales interesting for you? Like how you found out like, okay, this is going to be my thing. Like how that happened with you?
I think my mother, I would say she was programming me, because in my family, mostly are engineers. So my mom, even in Pakistan, she used to be in sales. She used to sell timeshares at that time, talking in 1995 to in 2000. Wow. It wasn't very common to sell timeshares in Pakistan. She was doing pretty good. So, and she always used to say, when we came to Canada, even one of my son will be run his own business. So she subconsciously programmed my mind, I think. And by the time I was hitting 20s, and it was already, I wasn't the smartest when it comes to the education, traditional education. I hated those book studies, and there's no way I would have made a good engineer. I would be probably most terrible engineer, but I studied business, and then the timing's just in line. I got into starting my own business. But coming to sales, it's the environment. And one thing I would say, even for you or anybody, wherever I'm talking to, it doesn't matter if it's Pakistan or international audience, number one skill you want to develop, two skills, they go side by side. First is communication, and second would be is developing their selling skills. So even here's the thing, even if we are sitting here together today, maybe there's no money transaction or XYZ things, but still there's some transaction happen on a trust that, hey, we're going to get together on this day, this time, and we're going to be on podcast. As you were talking with Russell a couple weeks ago, actually, probably I will be one of your person who have met Russell a few times with Tony Robbins. So because he's a partner with Tony Robbins and ClickFunnels and all that they were doing. So I've been blessed with that. But the thing is, you know, environment is the biggest thing, who you're going to surround yourself with, and develop that selling skills, because you're always selling. Doesn't matter when you are selling your idea, where you want to go eat with your friends, or which vacation you want to travel to with your group, or even if you want a promotion at your job, you're convincing somebody to get your idea or your position out there. So develop that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I definitely agree to it. And like, even, you know, my journey was like that. I was lacking in communication out there. English is not our first language. You know, we had so many, you know, these type of objections. We were like, you know, we cannot do this because we don't look pretty on camera. You know, I had all of these objections in my mind. But at the end of the day, I was like, if I cannot do it, you know, at once, if I cannot try it at raw moment without having like fancy gadgets, things like that, it's not going to happen. And then over time, the communication gets better. How you choose your words, how you articulate the message, everything gets changed.
It's all practice, right? We cannot
do
people like where you are today. You have gone over 100 episodes. People want to have a fame or to be recognized for something overnight. I always say, we as a humans or business owners, we are always overestimating what we're going to do in a year. So we're like, I'm going to, you know, get a million followers. I'm going to have XYZ person. I'm going to make $100,000, $1 million in my first year. So we are overestimating many times. It's doable. Most of us, we overestimate, but we are always underestimating what we can do in a decade.
Yeah.
Because where, if you even see Russell, or even if you see my mentor Tony or myself, I spent 13 to 14 years to build that business. It's not overnight. Even for you, however long the journey is, 100 episodes, it's still a marathon. Most people will quit after 20. They say, okay, I've done 20 episodes, only 500 people are watching, screw this, I don't want to do it. They just give up. So everything is a journey, and you have to keep on doing what you said. Like, it's not going to be communication, not going to improve. And again, one thing is, let's use an example very similar to selling, or you were talking about communication, would be, it's going to come down to, let's say if you want to learn how to swim, you can read a book. Okay, you got to go like this. Or are you going to learn how to swim by just reading a book, or you have to jump inside a water? You have to go in a pool or a river or somewhere, ideally not river, you're going to, unless it's a very shallow river, call a bank or somewhere. But the thing is, you have to learn. You have to put yourself into it. Just the way you have put yourself out there, probably I'm going to go actually see your first second podcast and see where you were and where you are now. Probably you would see a huge, huge growth in yourself too, right?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And like, speaking, like, you already mentioned about Tony Robbins, and, you know, he said one thing like, which is super fascinating, is proximity is power. You know, you have to surround yourself with the people out there who are, you know, on that higher level end. And then, you know, you grow yourself with them as well. Like, speaking of that, and I heard you somewhere else talking about that in a relationship, you give before you, you know, receive back as well. Like, how you think so, like, relationship played a crucial role in your life and business?
Oh, you remember that conversation we had that day? That's good.
Yeah,
100%. So first I'll give you, I'll answer that too. So one of the life mission statement that happened actually at Tony Robbins, Date with Destiny. So that's the biggest, the most intense event, usually 6 days. You're 12 to 15 hours every day. We are changing and writing about our life and changing it. So at the end, we are going to make our vision of our life and have a mission statement too. So I end up in 2018, I remember in Australia, I end up writing my mission statement, because he puts you in that state. You're like, okay, emotional and all that. You're jumping and your mind is just totally programmed where he wants you to take you to. So he put us in emotional state and asked, when I say, what is the purpose of your life? And I say, life is, what's the first gut response? For me, I wrote, it's a gift, you know, we didn't have to do anything. It was given to us. It's like a present, right? Some people say life, it's miserable. Some people say it's beautiful. Some people say unbelievable. So whatever it is. And later he asked the question, what is your purpose of existence? And I wrote, giving is a lifestyle, should be a lifestyle, because usually when Ramadan is coming, or Christmas, right now we're in December, Christmas is coming in the Western world, where people are going to start suddenly charities and donations. Some people are doing for tax write-off. Some people are doing just because they want to help people, whichever it is. But we do it once a year or twice a year. Why can't we make that a lifestyle? It doesn't have to be money always. It could be your philosophy teaching or knowledge you're sharing. So I developed those philosophies and all of that. So I wrote my mission life statement. Life is a gift and giving is our lifestyle. So that changed how I see things. When you ask that you give before you receive, the way it's mentioned in our religion too, in Islam also, like, you know, you give without if you, even in the in a good way, if you give, you will get 70 times reward. But we don't want to make it a totally context towards the religion. Every faith will have the same thing: you give, you help people. But how my philosophy actually changed or even got even stronger is about into 2017 or 18, I believe, we were growing the business and I had more time on me because I had very good teams they were managing. So I said, I want to do diversification of our business, and I end up going to a lot of networking events in my home city, which is Edmonton in Canada. So I went to this event and I met one of my older teacher. And I look at her, I'm like, damn, that's my teacher, man. And you know, as we go to our Pakistani culture, we give a lot of respect to our teachers comparatively to the Western culture. It's not they don't respect, but we are like, we do 10 times more things. Hey, can I get you a coffee? Can I do this? And I'm there, I'm looking at, I go up to her, I'm like, hey, I was one of your students, this. And she's trying to think who I am. She's trying so hard to think. And I know there was nothing special about me because I was an average student, below average. And no matter how much I will tell her, she wouldn't know. So I told her, I'm like, hey, you remember in one of our marketing class, you talked about the power of brands. She's like, yeah, what about it? I said, if I knew you would be here, I would have got you Starbucks. She's like, why? I was holding a Starbucks. She said, because she mentioned in one of her classes that I will go 15 minutes off my route to pick Starbucks over Tim Hortons. That's the two big brands in Canada, which they sell coffee. And we chatted, she asked how I'm doing. I told her about my client. She's like, I used to work for all that sort of long story short, we met. And then the same day before, in my sales team, I was teaching them power of written, handwritten thank you notes. So this is a lesson for a lot of people. They will do 3 lessons of this story. Power of handwritten thank you notes. If I send you a text, thank you. Probably get 20 thank yous a day. It doesn't stand out. If I send you an email, thank you so much for the time. It was an unbelievable podcast. That's maybe okay. Yeah, sure. Thank you. You will feel good, but it has not the same impact. But what if you receive a handwritten card and say, thank you so much for your time? Probably that touch feeling will be different than what we are used to now. So I taught my team, and at the same time, I was in a mall and I said, you know what? I should write a thank you note to this one of my teachers. And I saw Starbucks close by. I bought a $20, $25 gift card. I said, next time we'll have a coffee together. And thank you so much. And put my business card too. She had my contact, but no intention was to do something. But I just was close by to the university. I drop it off at her table. And a day after, her Twitter started exploding. She was tagging me. Oh my God, one of my students sent me this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what happened after that? So the reason I share this story is I just said genuine thank you. So that's part of giving too. You can say a genuine compliment to people who have helped you in your life. And then I developed more of my philosophies after. But a month after, or a few weeks after, I received an email from my university where I was a shitty average student. I use that word because the reason I wasn't that good. That university sent me an email saying, Fahad, we're looking to have you as a brand ambassador for our school of business. So we need, is there a time we can set up? First thought was they want money, because once you become successful, they're like, hey, can you sponsor this? I'm like, yeah, okay. Let me give them a call. There was a number. I send them an email that we call. I'm like, what are you looking for? They're like, we're looking for 1 hour of your time, 45 minutes to an hour one day, and then 30 minutes photo shoot on the other day. I'm like, is that all? I'm like, is there anything else you're looking for? I was trying to hope they will say maybe money or a sponsor. I thought, like, okay, they're going to put me in a small magazine or something. And that happened. Once that shot was done, everything is done, a month and a half after, I was in Pakistan. And one of my team members from our main window, this main street, sent me a picture. There's a big bus, our school, our transport transit system. And there's a whole wrapped with my face on it, like my shot. Wow. It's Fahad Khan transforming vision into venture. I'm like, damn, that's me. What? I didn't even know. They signed the paper. They're like, we will use it for advertisement. Later, we figured out they ran that campaign for 8 months, spent over $700,000 to $1 million probably on a marketing campaign, 5 buses, 22 digital billboards across the city. And I don't know how many streamer ads, like thousands of them, probably 100 to 1,000 of those streamer ads, just because of what? You said about giving, right? You do before you expect. All that happened was 2 things happened. There was an agenda. I said thank you to that lady. She was the one who actually nominated me as a brand ambassador. That led to one of the biggest marketing campaign, which helped me. And then power of thank you note. So those small things. So that helped me to where we are. And suddenly the whole city, I started receiving text messages from everybody. And yeah, rest is pretty good. It was a good feeling. It was a good ego boost. Then I'm like, then later I converted that into more being grateful to it.
Yeah, you know, first of all, that's definitely an amazing story. And the people who might be like watching or listening, you know, since I also talk about like building a relationship, like give first in order to receive later down the road. So like they kind of like understood that sort of like the fundamentals in general as well. But the way that you, you know, mentioned about the whole story, like how, like even though that you were, you know, giving the genuine care, anything out there, like it was genuine without any sort of agenda, like it shows like what could be the outcome later down the road, you know. You also Absolutely. Mentioned one thing that you were in Pakistan, right? So I want to talk about and dig deep into that as well. Like, what do you think about the people in Pakistan, especially in the digital marketing world? We're not going to talk about it. We're going to exclude every other person out there apart from people who are living or who are into the digital marketing. What do you think they're lacking at the moment in building a relationship? Like, what's something that's missing you think about that they could go in and rectify and they could optimize and then, you know, they can fix that and move further so that they can build relations down the road?
That's going to be 2-hour masterclass. We'll do it in 2 minutes. Okay. First of all,
if you can move down. Yeah.
First thing is, as me being a Canadian, I can go anywhere in the world and run a business. The reason I chose is because of back home and love for the country. And I truly believe, not just saying because I was born there. It's just an example would be is Pakistani digital marketeers or talent is like a coal, which has been buried in underground for years and years and years. And as we all know, it becomes a diamond. Diamond has no raw value. A coal converts into diamond, but raw diamond doesn't have much value until it starts being cut and polished. We are in a raw form, most of us. Very few are cut and polished. Very few. 100%. So we need more of the Brunsons probably to give you a better example, but we don't have probably none even close to that. So talent is out there, they need direction. Now, the second question was probably, what do they need to do in order to start tapping into international market, right?
Yeah, like how they can go in and like build that sort of relationship.
Because,
like my personal opinion around it at the moment is most people don't have sort of, you know, that growth mindset at the moment where they feel like the other person who is also successful is human. So they don't react to it that way.
First thing would be is everybody, you know, we all spend time in figuring out definition of success, especially with the social media. Everybody thinks comments, likes is the reflection of views is the only reflection of the success. I can use my own example. I wouldn't have a million views, but on one of the video, I just went live, less than 5,000 views, and I converted over $10,000 to $15,000 worth of business on it. That's the power. So how they can build those relationships is, first, they have to be genuine. That's number one. Second, get off your comfort zone. You have heard this million times. They all are scared to get on the phone. One of the things I've seen myself about in 2017, I was getting my website redone. So I reach out at that time. I think Upwork was there. So Upwork, I put an order out, start people. There were a lot of Indians who were bidding, Filipinos and Mexicans and Pakistanis. I'm like, oh, you know what? If I have to spend $1,000, $1,500, I'd rather give it to Pakistani. It's going to be pretty much almost the same work, right? Guess what? Building a relationship, now we talk. I send message to 5-6 people that I want to bring them on board. And you know, in 2017, if somebody's paying $1,000 budget for a website, that's like a jackpot for a lot of people. They're like, people don't get that much money. They're like, they're still used to making $250, $500 website. And up to $1,500, the budget was posted there. And I sent 5-6 inquiries to Pakistanis. They all responded and I asked, let's get on call. Zoom, I sent them the link. I'm like, let's get on call. Not a single one of them wanted to come on call. Because later I realized the problem was it was their nighttime, 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And as we know, everybody is awake in Pakistan, especially your age group in 20s. They all are the digital market. They are not sleeping. They're up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock anyways, even if they're schools or universities. The reason they did not came on call is because they lacked communication. They were scared that somebody will make fun of their broken English. You not answering that phone call, that business went to somewhere else, to a different country. I could have talked even in Urdu too, but I did not because I wanted to see the number one problem. Most of my friends, even with Tony Robbins Circle, we have this group called Platinum Partners. So I'm one of them. And I'm probably the bottom 10% net worth in that group. Most of them have those private jets and they're flying all over. Literally, one of the guys, he owns one of the biggest furniture franchises, over like 50 stores of furniture. The big giants who are sitting there and they're still in the network. And Russell is usually part of that group too. He comes and support a lot of his Tony's friend in there too.
Yeah.
But all of these people have used international marketeers too. They all say one thing. The problem is they don't understand us. So people need to understand, especially when you're in Pakistan, India, Philippines, whichever country we are in, we have to understand what is the mindset of, if I'm Canadian or American, you need to understand my mindset. If I'm from Europe, you need to understand my mindset. Because if some people don't have problem paying $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. If I want to get a website in Canada, people are paying $15,000 for the same thing, which can be done for $1,500. The reason they pay that money there is because they feel that they understand them. So most people in Pakistan, they just like want to type, get out of there. Pick up because people die to get on phone with me to make a sale. Like I get so many phone calls now because in the middle, I changed my phone number. My phone number was listed there and some bot picked up the number, and every marketing company has my number now. That's the problem, because I get telemarketers now and they all are trying to get me on the phone. On the other side, where I'm telling the person who's going to say, can you get on phone? They're like, no, I can't get on phone. It is too late. You know, maybe some other time. Hire somebody who can speak better English in the team, who can at least communicate. Don't be scared or you're going to lose business. That's by far the biggest thing I would say they need.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the initial start, what you mentioned about, and I remember I actually commented the exact same thing on a Facebook post, like the people who are living in Pakistan right now are kind of like under a coal mine. They will come up later down the road, like in a couple of years from now. And, you know, they will go in and become what they could be, the best version of themselves. But right now, they are definitely in the coal mine. And one thing that I want to talk about is, what do you think about was the most crucial part of your success? Like, was that your ethics? Was that your business fundamentals? Like, what was the one thing, if you list down like one or three things out there, what was the main things that played a role in your success, particularly for the last almost like, you know, or more than a decade or so?
Okay, so biggest thing was hunger. Hunger gonna come down to for people, like how hungry you are. People say, let's use an example. People say, I wanna make $1 million. Are you willing to put the work and effort behind it? So I worked in sales since the age of 16. Till the age of 23, I was not struggling. I worked for a lot of sales companies, but my commissions were not paid out. And there was one of the companies, I'm talking like literally 15, 16 years ago, one of the companies was supposed to pay me $10,000 for 10 days of work I did in sales, selling credit cards in one of the events. And they paid me only 5%, around $980 out of $10,000 or $11,000. Mm-hmm. So less than 10% they paid me. They said 95% of your applications were fake. And they all were real. They all have like all the IDs. Everything was done at the event. They all knew. But later I realized somebody else made the money on that. That was a trend in every single company. Every single company I went, they would not pay out your commissions. They will do some kind of these things. At that time, iPads were not there. Everything was paper and manual. So that makes me a little bit ancient, so I would say. But that thing was the turning point. But to give you an idea, like working for 40 days straight, studying full time, and being working 5 to 6 hours a day on top, 40 to 50 days straight, that's going to help. Secondly, when I started my own first business, my first initial major contract, my first big contract was Fortune 500 company. We got them on board to sell telecom door to door. And to give you an idea there, right now revenue is about $14 billion a year. We don't have that much money in our country's treasure right now.
Yeah,
we're less than that. So that's one company we marketed for more than 12 years, 13 years probably. So the thing is, getting client is easy sometimes. Retaining is the hardest thing. For 13 years, we marketed. Now, the question was, first thing they said is, okay, here's our internet, TV, and phone service. Can you knock on doors, door to door in Canada, selling telecom on commission? So when I say hunger and hard work, so minus 20 sounds cold. That's what we've done, door knocking. Then comes minus 30 degrees Celsius. It's freaking cold. Then comes minus 40. That's when, after minus 30, usually give time off to the team. It's optional many times. Then the worst day I've door knocked is at minus 48 degrees Celsius. So that's the ethic you have to put if you want to make your dreams a reality. If I have to go back, do it again, will I do it? If I have to, I will. I've been being a CEO of my company, we launched some projects. I've been out in the field with the team just to share and see. I don't need to sell because it doesn't make a difference to me. I will go and help them out. Thing is, are you willing to pay that price? So if you're a digital marketer, are you willing to pick up that phone and call 100 people if you have to? most people will say, yeah, I will do it. But when the work comes down to it, they would not do it.
Yeah.
So biggest contribution was hunger, and put the work out there. You have to be determined. You have to have bigger vision. You have to know what you want. And whenever the success is, we were talking a little bit earlier about success, whatever is success to you, that's what it is. It doesn't mean you have to have a million followers. It doesn't mean you have to have $100 million. If you're happy with $500 a month income, and that's what your definition of success is, who am I? Or who is Emma to judge you, or who is Russell Brunson or Tony Robbins? As long as you're happy from inside, that's what the success is. So you determine what you want. If your success criteria is $1 million, then you better put your work out there. $1 million is not much these days. People say, oh my God, $1 million. The funny thing is in Pakistan, everybody says six figures, seven figures, and they're talking in rupees. I always have to clarify, are we talking dollars or are we talking in rupees? Because yeah. As you said, I was looking at your intro too, like even to people who've been almost at eight figures and have been very blessed to get to that point. You know, when you start heading close to 10 figures, it's not the easiest thing, but when you get there, there's a lot of responsibility on you too as a business.
That's so true. And you mentioned about like the power of the building team as well. Yeah, like you also mentioned like the part of the team building as well. Like what, like how you found A players in your team, and how you were able to get out of that system. You know, most people, you know, probably like face that problem. The people like you were good at sales, you know, in the way that you mentioned about that. So like how you removed yourself out of the process, and you didn't feel like, hey, you know, I have to get into the business out there, make those changes out there, because those part of the team members out there might not do the work, you know, at that specific moment. Like how you removed yourself out of it, and how you built that great team for you.
Okay, like, so I just thought around that. Two things I'll give you. B player will not work for C player. B player will not work for A. B will work for A. So first you have to be yourself an A player. If you get to that level, unless you throw a lot of money, somebody might work for you. But most people who are going to be listening to this, they're not at that level yet. They don't have that enough flexibility or money or resources to afford that. So you have to become yourself as an A player. Unless you have resources to hire somebody and put him there. So that's one. The second thing which really helped me, number one mistake people are going to make this. This is very common in Pakistan too, or all around the world. We put a lot of time and money, and we call ourselves a business owner, but we are self-employed, or we are the business operators. We're running our own businesses all the time. When you ask a very good question, what did you do to put yourself out of it? It took me a few years, 5 years to 6 years, when I totally, more like seven, when I actually put myself out. Like I put myself out of the sales in first 2 years, 2.5, 3 years. I've started pulling it out, mm-hmm. and team was running. Then I was still involved on a daily basis on other managerial level. But remember, control in a business is an illusion. So people are trying to control everything. I want to have control on this. I want to have control on this.
Yeah,
so the day exactly. I let that control go and start finding the people who can actually run the teams for me, where my philosophy is I'd rather pay a little bit more, but I'd have less problems to deal with. So rather than me doing all the work, I hate doing $15 an hour job when I can do, if my worth is $1,500 an hour. Okay, so that's where maybe we make the mistake. Many times, even in my teams here in Canada and Pakistan, I let them do it. You got to give them opportunity to start making decisions. Initially, you have to train, but you need to let them, if you give them a title, you also give them a responsibility, but you also let them take a decisions also at that time. So yeah. What happens is you let somebody be a manager, but you don't let them hire or fire.
That's super interesting. And like with the aspect of it, and this would be like one of the last questions I really want to ask right now is, what's your main purpose or main goal as of now? Like, what's your main purpose around that?
Main purpose of my life or business?
Yeah, like at the moment, I would say like life and business both. Like, what's your main purpose? What's your next goal, I would say, at the moment with business and life both in particular?
Right now, I have six ventures who are actually running and making money, and there's about six, seven other startups which are going to be at the stage where they're going to be making money. When it comes to business side, I'm going to launch something very soon in Pakistan, especially related to immigration sector, because that's one of the other business we have, and we have an office in Pakistan which is going to disrupt the market in Pakistan when it comes to immigration. And the model which we are launching, we can take it global. So basically, in many businesses, even in marketing, there's a lot of, we say, fake gurus and a lot of wrong salespeople, which unethical sales is happening and misleading from real estate to every sector we go all around the world, especially a lot more in Pakistan too. Not trying to put the country down, but this is common. But we're going to fix that through our new model of immigration, where we're going to teach a lot of people how to do it. They can run business themselves, and I'll give them the platform. So simple thing, give you the platform. Let's say I'm giving you Google. You want to use it? Great, you can make money. You don't want to make it? That's fine. So that's what we are working on. And when it comes to the life, so when I wrote my purpose, if we're sitting together talking today, are all my businesses which are happening in Pakistan or internationally, a lot of them came through the one thing where I started giving, where, you know, start teaching people, talking about my business experiences, how we can help and elevate others. And in Pakistan, we have not charged anybody yet. We only did one masterclass where we wanted to pilot somebody, something we charged like minimal amount for 3,000 to 4,000 rupees just to see. And that was my only existing students. And then I gave them coaching classes. And after they finished that 12 weeks of coaching, it was like about 70,000 to 80,000 rupees. We said, okay, on top, I'll put another 80,000 rupees and we're going to donate this to one of the program we were running to for food drive. So my vision would be is the biggest thing would be is I'm going to inspire millions of people around the world. Focus is always Pakistan, to elevate them so they can run their own business, so they can have more sustainable income for themselves through different platforms. Doesn't have to be my platforms, but if I can provide a platform, of course, it will be financially rewarding for me. But I believe that, you know, the more you do good, more things will kind of connect. I met some of the best amazing people around the world just because of that. And to give you another idea, even being part of Tony Robbins group, it costs a lot of money to be there, but all the platinum partners who I say are 90% are way wealthier, financial wealthier than I am, probably. They always say one thing. They're like, well, you know what you're doing is you are the Tony version of Pakistan. I'm like, that's a huge compliment, but it comes with a huge responsibility. So inshallah, we'll get there to that point where we can get people to go have that high level energy and go make things happen for themselves and for their families. So that's one of my goals. And anybody out there who's looking for help, guidance, if I can help, sure. Can I get everybody to start coaching in one-on-one? No, I will not do that. It's not time effective. Most of the things, I'll send them to the link of some of my videos. I say, go and learn. You will, anything I'll say here, you have all that workshop done. I'm more of a workshop oriented than just the motivational talk. I hate that motivational talk. I'm more about A, B, C, D. You do this, do this, do this. This thing will happen. So I'm pretty confident that would help to people.
Love it. Love it. So where people can be the part of your world, like where people can follow you or be the part of your world initially?
Social media, you can probably post them on the screen going to be coming. So Facebook is one. Pakistan is still active. International world is dying on Facebook, but Pakistan is still used. So if you want to find me on Facebook, it's FahadK99, I believe, or FahadCPM is my personal one.
Yeah, we'll be posting up the links in the description.
Right here, the links are right there. Our Instagram is pretty good. That's where I respond. I personally respond to a lot of people too on Instagram. So those two are the best ways. Or just go to FahadK.com. We have just launched our club too. So it's a free trainings and all the things I've done, like workshops, maybe some of the nice podcasts. We also post them, the links and everything into that portal. So it's a free access. So that's fahadkhan.club. So if you want to go take advantage of that, you guys can take that advantage of that too.
Awesome. Awesome. So I will post up all of the links in the description, also in the show notes. Well, Fahad, thank you so much for being on the show today out there. Any last thing that you want to say before we round the show up?
Biggest thing would be is I would say, if you really want something, just ask yourself, what price are you willing to pay? And what work are you willing to put in? And before we wrap up, since you asked me a question, I'll ask you the same question. Where do you see yourself with a podcast and this vision you have? Where do you see yourself in next 6 months to a year?
Yeah, as long as I'm loving it, enjoying it, I would keep doing it and evolve myself, get better at it, communicating better. You know, evolving is always, I would say, like, evolving is the most important process, you know? So I see myself in the next 6 months to 1 year evolving in all of the different aspects of it. You know, until I'm loving it. That's the main thing. And that's how I even define the successful part of it as well.
I'll show you one thing. I was just like doing a little bit of the office. I don't know if I can fit it here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the mentor. So that was one of the things. So I always say, people say, why do you promote him or this or that? You get paid. I'm like, no, man, I've spent $250,000 to learn from this guy, but he have added so much value. So at the end of the day, if you want to go in any business, it's all about going to be creating a true value to people. If you cannot create it, you're not going to make money. That's the end thing. So thank you.
Yeah, that's That's amazing. Well, Fahd, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. And guys, thank you so much for watching. We're definitely going to see you guys in the next episode. Until then, have a great day. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Now, if you're someone who wants to interview these super successful entrepreneurs so that you can build multi-million dollar network alongside leveraging their audience as well, I've created a script that allowed me to book over $1 billion plus worth of entrepreneurs on my show, and you can get it free for now. So just go to billiondollarscript.com, and it's billiondollarscript.com, and don't forget to leave a 5-star review, and I will see you guys in the next one.